But first, let's get you home the right way with Right Way Traffic.
Crews are working on a new collision northbound 5 on the on-ramp from Northeast 145th Street. A collision partially blocking the ramp. It looks like they're just now in the process of clearing it out of the way. Meanwhile, we still have slowing on southbound 5 as you make your way from the Ship Canal Bridge area down towards Albrook Curve. Southbound 405 also heavy from before I-90 to about the S-curves in Renton. And we're still slow on south 5 from Highway 18 into Tacoma. South 167 getting caught up from after Highway 18 to the 410 interchange. You're listening to AM 770 KTTH.
This hour of the Jason Rancho is brought to you by Primary Residential Mortgage, PRMI. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
So over the weekend on Saturday at Green Lake Park, there was a pro-police rally. Antifa and other agitators found out. And they decided, we don't get to say anything that's pro-police. We don't get to have a rally. This is Seattle, where you're supposed to take one particular viewpoint. And when you don't, they will disrupt. And that's exactly what their intent was. They showed up, whether it's Antifa or Black Lives Matter activists or simply just agitators. They showed up in black bloc, meaning they dressed all in black, umbrellas out, weapons out, to drown out the speakers who were pro-police, push them from their space. And for the most part, it was actually mostly successful. You had about 50 people who were pro-police, had about 50 or so people who were Antifa. And it went exactly the way you think, with Antifa chanting, you know, the whole bootlickers thing is just, it's not demeaning.
It doesn't strike you in the heart chords the way it should.
It doesn't sting at all. It's just like, it's nothing. It's just some stupid thing that they say.
You support a group of other people. How
can't believe
dare
it.
You?
You support cops. Yeah. That, yes, I do. Oh my gosh, don't call me out. I don't know how I'm supposed to get over that. This went on and on and on to the point where nothing was actually getting done. And that, of course, was their intent. There were a couple of small skirmishes breaking out. You had two pro-police activists who were sprayed with pepper spray or mace, some sort of chemical irritant by Antifa. One of them had to be seen by the EMTs that showed up. And what is astounding about this, it didn't actually have to be this way. And I say this not because I believe Antifa, generally speaking, are capable of a civil dialogue, but because this was the first time, literally the first time that I've witnessed some members of the mob saying they did, in fact, want to talk and have an open conversation with the other side. And I have to imagine that if you're one of the people who actually engages or wants to engage in civil dialogue, and you show up in the mob and you dare step forward and say, actually, I would like to say something. I would like to have a conversation. I imagine that's not very easy for them to do. And I will give kudos to anybody on either side of an issue that they're very passionate about, being willing to come forward and having a tough but honest conversation. And there were a couple moments where some folks stepped up. One of them, what do the kids call it when they do the rap battle, but it's all just on the spot?
Freestyling. There you go. Good job.
You had the Antifa people freestyling. One dude freestyling some viciously anti-police stuff. But it did all rhyme.
It's like an episode of Wild and Out.
Yeah, like that thing. I would have gone with 8 Mile because that was in my generation.
So there's no episodes of that.
But they were doing that, and someone on the pro-police side stepped up and did a pro-police rap. And when he was done, and by the way, it was actually not awful. It was actually pretty good. When he was done, the two got together. They hugged it out. They had a respectful word to each other. And then someone else in the Antifa crowd stepped up and said, you know what? I'll give you credit for that. That was good. I'll give you credit. Disagree, but I'll give you credit. And from there, there were some other people who stepped forward and they wanted to speak.
This just proves that we need to settle every sort of indifference in the world with rap battles.
You're an ISIS member? Let's do a rap battle. I don't know if it would translate well, but let's try. It actually worked. But there were still too many people on the Antifa side that wanted to cause problems. And they ended up winning the battle. And that's a shame, because there was some promise here. There was some promise here. There were a couple moments where I was very clearly recognized, to which I just ignored them, pretending that it wasn't me. Hey, you're Jason Rantz, aren't you? I just didn't respond, and I just kept walking, thinking that would help.
To be fair, you do the same to me in the office. I'm like, hey, Jason, yeah. Jason.
Just ignore you.
You just look down and keep walking.
At one point, a dude walked up to me, black block. You Jason Rantz? To which I said no. And then he leaned in again. You're not Jason Rantz? To which I realized I now am clearly outed. So I pretended I thought he said Jacob. Said, oh, I thought you said Jacob. Sorry, I couldn't hear you. What are you doing here? Told him what I was doing there. I was here to see what was going on. And he was almost low-key menacing, if you know what I mean. Like, there was just something, and maybe this is me going into it knowing that they don't like me. I was waiting for them to start a mob around me. But you know what they always say about me, Producer Peyton?
You're annoying?
No. They all say, every single person who's ever met me, handsome, witty, intelligent,
obnoxious,
humble, and charming. I'm charming. I charmed him over with just a few questions asking about himself, which is what you're supposed to do, like on a first date. Ask the date about themselves, and they love it. And they loved it.
So is he not Antifa anymore?
He is now a Proud Boy. No, he was actually, it ended up being fine. And like, I calmed him down. Like, I'm just here to listen. Why are you here? What brought you here? I want to support Black Lives Matter. I said, awesome. I want to support cops. Maybe we could actually talk about some things. We didn't actually get into a deep conversation because moments later a fight broke out. But I thought that this was me building a bridge. I mean, him building a bridge or possibly wanting to hurt me, and then me responding by building a charming bridge.
Do you think there's a small group of Antifa out there who are massive Jason Rantz fans? They're like, hey, this guy gets it.
What video did I send to you from Saturday?
You sent me a fantastic video of you trying not to record somebody yelling at others.
What were they saying on this video about me?
They're saying, hey, what were they saying? It was, is that Jason Rantz there? And, you know, the Fox News guy.
He did the reporting from the border of Chop and Chaz. They were almost impressed by it. I thought that was actually kind of funny. The best moment that I experienced there was, this is towards the end, and there was this one woman who was just yelling, a pro-police woman who was just yelling at an Antifa dude. And she was just, you're a Marxist. Lots of bleeps were necessary for this. So I've decided not to actually play it because it's so many bleeps. And as this was happening, a jogger who had nothing to do with what was going on was just jogging by because it's at Green Lake Park. There's people jog there. And he's running by. He just turns briefly. He goes to the Antifa guy. Are you Antifa? And the Antifa person was excited. Like, yeah. He goes, F you. You are everything that's wrong with this city. You are causing all of these problems. And that threw the Antifa guy off. And as soon as that happened, I pulled out my phone and I started to record it. Because what was interesting here, across the street were a bunch of cops. They were just there on standby in case they needed to come in. And at one point, they did end up coming in. And the Antifa person is pointing to them. Do you see any black faces there in that group? And the jogger, who is Latino, turned to the guy and said, you're not black, you're white. What do you have to say about any of this? And you're telling me about racism? He ripped into the guy, and it was glorious. Was it not glorious?
No, it was an amazing video. I also kind of confused the jogger for an Asian radio producer.
Yeah, no,
he could have been Latino, could have been Asian radio producer, either way.
I mean, maybe he was. I don't, he looked Latino to me. He definitely was not a white dude, as he points out. Now, I've got this video. It's available right now at twitter.com/Jason Rantz, or just go to the Facebook page at facebook.com/Jason Rantz Show. The video is there. I warn you, there is lots of vulgarity, so it's very much an R-rated clip.
So many vulgarity.
So many.
Can't we have civil conversations without swearing up a storm at somebody?
There was so much swearing. Even I, who have a dirty mouth. I'm vulgar. Off air, obviously. Even I was like, oh my God, this lady is going nuts. And then the jogger is going nuts. It was amazing. You can watch it online in all of its glory. Just don't watch it with kids. Unless your kids are, well, yeah, it's PG-13.
I say they got to be at least over 6 to watch that video.
Feet tall.
Oh.
6 feet tall?
Sure.
Okay. Facebook.com/JasonRantsShow. Go there and you can see the video. You're listening to The Jason Rantz Show. When we come back, a Seattle car wash, a landmark, an icon is shutting down after 64 years. The reason will not shock you. We're going to get into that and so much more. The IRS is increasing the number of officers in Washington State, and if you owe money, they're going to come for you. So don't try to take on the IRS yourself. Contact our local tax expert and advocate, Greg Nunn, at Nunn Better Tax Resolution. N-U-N-N, Nunn Better Tax Resolution. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
So that iconic elephant super car wash is closing down. They've been in business for about 64 years. You've seen the pink elephant sign on Denny. If you've ever driven through Seattle, most of you who have made that drive, many of us have, we've seen this. And in a lot of ways, it's become one of the symbols synonymous with the city of Seattle. Well, they're ending their run. Not merely because running a car wash in the city of Seattle, where it rains semi-frequently, it's difficult. That's not why they're doing it, though they acknowledge they've been losing money for a bit. But the reason why, I think, is rather telling, because they posted a statement online, and they cite the increasing crime, drug activity, and homelessness in and around the car wash. They say it's made it extremely difficult to retain staff and attract customers to our business. When coupled with the ever-increasing cost of doing business in Seattle and the city's ever-increasing burdensome regulatory demands, we have determined that it's impossible for a small, minimum wage-based business such as ours to successfully operate within Seattle, even one that's been established since 1956. They're not hiding why they made this decision. There are a lot of businesses that are not hiding why they're making similar decisions, either to close down completely or relocate. And we've talked to some of these business owners, a clothing store operator in Belltown who moved to Bellevue. It was the best decision she's made. We're obviously seeing Amazon make moves to remove their employees from Seattle and bring them to Bellevue. And all of this has everything to do with the two issues there, the crime slash homelessness and the increasing cost of business. You'll recall just a few weeks ago, in the middle of a pandemic, the Seattle City Council decided to raise taxes on businesses again. It was a payroll tax. We live in a state where real estate taxes went from a flat rate to a tiered rate system. So now big commercial properties get hit with an extremely high tax rate, and businesses are saying, yeah, no, I'm out. Part of that is why Big Fish Games, for example, is subleasing their office space rather than just going all in. You have REI in Bellevue deciding just to give up on their office space. You have Starbucks making the announcement that they have extended their remote from work schedule until October of next year. A year from today. This is all because of decisions that the Seattle City Council and this mayor are making, and not a lot of people are talking about it. In fact, when it comes to the elephant super car wash, people are talking about the stupid sign. God bless the sign. We got it. It's adorable. Is it? Okay. Whatever. Nostalgia. Hashtag it. But they're talking about the dumb sign. We learned today that they're moving it to Mohai Museum, which is at this point 4-minute drive from the location of the car wash. Leonard Garfield is the executive director of Mohai Museum of History and Industry. He told Cairo 7 TV that everyone in Seattle loves that stupid sign, that great sign.
I think it's just about everybody's favorite sign.
It's not mine. My favorite sign says free in it.
See, I think everyone's most favorite sign in Seattle is one that says, like, deja vu. That's probably closer to a favorite
sign.
Well,
if you're a degenerate like you, who goes to the strip joints.
I didn't say like me. I said a majority of Seattleites. Mine would probably be... give me...
free samples.
Yeah, that's a good
one. Any sign that says free samples, that's my favorite sign. I'm all in. Leonard says that the sign will look good there on display because they're going to, you know, they're going to clean it all up.
We will repair it and we will restore it. It will actually look new.
Plus, none of the drug dealers and homeless people will be camped out beneath it anymore. So that, you know,
yeah,
that's a plus.
The elephant won't be getting a secondhand high from all the druggies around it.
Is that elephant high? No. The people are shooting up heroin and smoking crack cocaine beneath it, and the fumes are going up to the elephant. That's why it's pink. No one said anything. That's a very unhealthy flesh color.
For an elephant.
Yes, it's supposed to be like a blue. And where are... it's a pink elephant.
See, there's more history.
From the heroin.
There's more history to this elephant than the average person thinks.
I'm the only one who tells the truth. They say the sign is a reminder of better days. Ain't that the truth?
But I think also it reminds us of Seattle from an earlier period when we found pleasure in simple things, when the city was growing, but it wasn't overwhelming.
It's not that it's overwhelming from a growth perspective. It's that it's overwhelming from a homeless and crime perspective.
And drugs, don't forget drugs.
Well, crime I put into that, and frankly into the homelessness thing as well. That's why people look at that and see better times. They're not looking for the days of Seattle where no one lived here and neighborhoods were underdeveloped. They're looking at a time where crime wasn't out of control, where there wasn't encampments literally everywhere. Because we have yet another story out of Seattle talking about how people are noticing how bad the homelessness situation is getting. It is exploding in the city of Seattle. Exploding in part because the city decided that they're no longer going to allow the navigation team to do their jobs. Navigation team, specialized group of police officers working with social workers, going into encampments, cleaning them, yes, sweeping them, yes, but also connecting those people with shelters, shelter beds. That apparently was inhumane because they cleaned up, they moved the people out. So they cut the entire navigation team. And just like that, on top of a pandemic that caused this problem to get even worse, because remember, during the pandemic, the navigation team wasn't really working anyway, all of a sudden, homelessness has exploded. Tarot 7 TV, for example, they went down to Ballard to see how bad it got. They talked with a guy named Sean. He lives there. Sean, like so many others, point out this issue.
It was bad before, and this pandemic has made it much, much worse. There's more people living on this street than at any point that I've lived here in this neighborhood for 22 years. And they especially are loud at night with power tools and compressors and pounding and like they're building something and arguing a lot.
What are they building? We had this exact same story out of a park in North Seattle where people were like, they've created a mechanic shop of some kind, a metalworking shop. And they're doing it at all hours of the night. A listener over the weekend sent me an email with a whole bunch of photos she took out in Soto and Pioneer Square. It is disturbing how bad it's gotten there. I go into that area pretty frequently because that's where one of the studios for Fox News is. And so I'm passing these dangerous encampments. And Sean, like so many other people, are frustrated that you would even think about getting rid of the navigation team, let alone just getting rid of them.
Your only plan is to get rid of the only thing that works. If it's not perfect, can't we fix it? And this is not a shortage of empathy, compassion, or understanding. I want to help, and clearly we're not doing enough to help.
Clearly we're not doing enough to help. He's right. None of this changes until you change leadership. Literally none of this changes. None of it, unless you change the ideology behind the leaders in office. So I hope everyone right now who lives in Seattle or lives in a neighboring city realizing that this kind of issue spreads to your neighborhoods, I hope you're paying attention to how you feel right now. So when it comes to actually voting, be it in November or be it next year for some of these council races, you're taking that energy you feel now to get more and more people out there to vote. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message. When we come back, we're going to dive into the big local with some nuttiness coming out of the city of Renton. What are they doing? Raising taxes. Why? We'll tell you.
Olympia, Sammamish, Lakewood, Bellevue.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Bellingham, Kirkland, Z-Town.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at that. 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local. Here's how this works. The media is hyper-focused on stories out of Seattle, and they end up ignoring a lot of the stories that you care about most. Stories that are coming from the communities you live in. And so we focus all of our attention on those stories, and we completely ignore the city of Seattle. And we start in the city of Renton because their council decided to fast track a new sales tax. A new tax during the pandemic for nebulously defined affordable housing. Don't exactly know really what that means, and people say affordable housing thinking that it means something specific when it doesn't. Because what's affordable to someone who has literally no income? Free housing? So is this about free housing? Or is this about subsidized housing to a point where we're, you know, maxing out rent at a percentage of one's income? They don't actually say it. In this case, they're doing it before King County Council is going to make a regional sales tax. So at some point, the folks in Renton are going to get hit with an additional sales tax along with everybody else in King County. And when they say fast track, they mean we did it so fast, most people probably didn't even know about it and didn't even get the opportunity to talk to us about it, to get on the record. Now, I imagine some Renton City Council member is going to say, I can justify this. Turns out, you know what this sales tax actually is? A tenth of a percentage. It is 0.1%. That's not a lot of money. That's right. It's not a lot of money. 0.1%. They're only expected to bring in about $3 million for, again, affordable housing. I can't understate this enough or overstate this enough. We are in the middle of a pandemic with a struggling economy, with people who right now, some don't have their jobs at all. Others had their hours cut dramatically. Others maybe are working but now have to spend more money on childcare because their kids aren't in class and someone needs to watch them while the parent goes to work. All while this is happening, you are raising taxes. It doesn't happen in a bubble. When you look countywide and statewide, taxes are going up. They have gone up this year. And so when you tell me it's only a tenth of a percentage, when you say, oh, geez, it's only 0.1%, yeah, but you add that 0.1% to the other 0.1% or 10% or 6% or whatever it happens to be, because remember, you're also paying property taxes that continue to go up. At some point, when you've got a lot of small tax increases, it turns into a giant tax increase at the end of the day. Because when you have to pay that tax at the end of the month or the end of the year, you're not looking at it as saying, oh, let me break down the $10,000 extra I paid in taxes this year. You're seeing you paid an extra $10,000 in taxes this year. So this was the wrong move. Meanwhile, perhaps this is the wrong move. We'll figure this out. The local and state COVID police killed the haunted house for Halloween. You can't have haunted houses anymore because of COVID. People can get scared and, I guess, spit COVID droplets when they scream and then it hits someone else.
This is a big bummer for all those eighth graders who are looking to go on their first date in a big group setting, and it's going to be really awkward and you're trying to hold your crush's hand. Really, really big bummer for them.
Sorry that happened. However, one dude in Snohomish is creating a drive-through haunted house.
It's really a bunch of chainsaw-wielding hillbillies and demonic clowns
also
competing
normal.
For your affection and making sure you have a good time as you drive through the property.
So that guy's name is Keith Stalker of Stalker Farms. It's a good name.
This doesn't seem like a good idea.
It is a 40-minute drive-through experience. 40 minutes. And I'm with you where it kind of doesn't seem like a safe idea.
Strobes, fog,
as you're driving,
loud noises, and some very energetic people doing what they love to do in October.
I hope you're not driving at that point because they go, drivers are guided through the haunt with their lights off.
So this has to be like one of those car wash hookups where you just, you know.
Maybe.
We're the only drive-through haunt in the state of Washington, and we're calling ourselves the safest way to get scared in the Pacific Northwest.
Okay, he's saying it's safe, which might indicate maybe you're not actually driving, which means it's not a drive-through. Right? Because you're not driving through anything. You're just driving and stopping.
We have you pull your vehicle into a space. We park you. We chalk your wheels. We jump out and have our fun. And then we pull the wheel chocks and we move you to a new scene.
Okay. So I get it. It's like a bunch of moving platforms.
It is. Have you ever been to Universal Studios?
Yes.
And the tour that they give on the movie sets?
Yeah.
It's like that.
It's that, but your own car.
Yes, you don't get out of your car. Is this still? I saw one thing. It sounds awful.
I mean, I think it's safer than what I originally thought, where you're driving through a tunnel with your lights off.
But if it's
and then
safe,
the second you get scared, you punch the gas.
Yeah, but if it's safe, then where's the fright? Where's the scary part? Like, oh my God, I got so scared, I hit the gas, and I almost hit a kid. That's
scary. You think
scary.
That's the scary part of it? Is
it's technically
wow,
scary.
Wow, I almost hit Tommy, the pedestrian, on the side.
Well, he's an idiot for not wearing any bright,
reflective clothing
on his costume. He just decided to go as a zombie. I thought it was literally a zombie. It's Snohomish.
Well, I know how much money he put into this to try and, like, create his dream of a drive-through haunted house.
They didn't say how much tickets were, but they said it's already sold out, which is kind of weird that he's now promoting it after it's already been sold out.
People are desperate to do anything, and I think this proves that. We should all be capitalizing on how we can figure things out where people don't have to get out of their car.
This would not work as a date.
No.
No, because you're just going to be making out the whole time, and then the guy with the hillbilly with the chainsaw is like, hey, guys, I'm trying to freak you out, and you get your tongue out of her mouth. This is ridiculous. Like, what are you supposed to do at that point?
Well, then one of the people making out is going to get scared and then bite the other person's tongue, and then you're just going to have, like, a bloody mouth in the car. Then it gets really scary.
Oh, but at least that's on theme.
Yeah, exactly. The blood coming out, but then you got to rush to the hospital, put the tongue on ice or something.
This part sounds awful. They say, well, you can't do that because it's sold out. The farm's nighttime corn maze is still available. How can you do a corn maze with COVID rules if you can't do a haunted house?
Haunted houses are indoor, Jason.
That it?
Duh.
So if there's like 500 people who are stuck in this stupid maze trying to figure out where to go, I think I've been to this place
Wait,
before.
What about a haunted maze? I've seen the haunted mazes. There's one down in Puyallup.
They're all haunted if it's at night and there's no lights because that's just scary. That is just so creepy. And you're wandering through and you're lost. You don't know what's going on. And then all of a sudden you hear a noise, even though you really didn't hear a noise. It was just some wind. And all of a sudden you think you're about to be murdered. And sometimes you're
lucky enough.
I mean, you get murdered sometimes. Finally, the National Weather Service actually confirmed that a tornado touched down in Grays Harbor County over the weekend. It happened Saturday morning around 4:40 a.m. 10 trees were knocked down. And that's it.
Was that supposed to impress me? Is that even a tornado or is that just like mild winds?
It's a tornado with mild winds. The National Weather Service tweeted today that after they evaluated the photographic evidence coming in from both local officials and a, quote, trained spotter, combined with radar signatures from the event, they say it was consistent with a brief tornado with the peak winds reaching 90 miles per hour. They say a tornado warning was issued at 4:40 a.m. That tornado warning is utterly useless because it happened at 4:40 a.m. when the actual tornado hit. What is the point of a tornado warning at that?
It's like a weatherman who looks outside and sees it's raining and says, oh, we're going to get rains through the afternoon.
It shouldn't say warning. It should say there's literally a tornado happening right now. If you're reading this and you're still alive, count to 10, you'll probably be dead. That's what the, it's a little wordy, but they should just put that there.
Yeah, you said there's a tornado spotter for this, a spotter who checks on the photographs to see if this...
That's a liberal hoax right there.
That sounds like a fantastic job where you don't have to do anything, much like Seattle's traffic czar. This is, like, what position does more? The traffic czar?
The spotter actually also works at, like, Postmates or an Uber driver or something. There's no way that this is a full-time job, right? It lasted about 2 minutes, and it traveled a half of a mile with a maximum width of 30 yards. And all I got were 10 stupid trees knocked over.
Nobody hurt?
No one was hurt.
No houses?
Nope.
Wow, this is a good sign.
If a tornado happens in the woods and no one sees it, but you rely on a spotter, did it even happen?
You seem disappointed that those trees are the only thing down.
Who cares? So a tornado that impacted nobody happened in the middle of the morning when everybody was asleep. Oh my gosh. Breaking news. 1-800-465-877 if you want to join the conversation. The WHO said something that's very, very important and worth hearing. Too bad the media, for the most part, has kind of ignored this story. We're going to tell you why when we come back. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. Really do appreciate you tuning in. Let's dive right into this because Dr. David Nabarro, who is the World Health Organization's special envoy on COVID-19, had something really, really important to say, and yet many media outlets either didn't cover this at all or spent just a couple seconds on it.
We in the World Health Organization do not advocate lockdowns as a primary means of control of this virus. The only time we believe a lockdown is justified is to buy you time to reorganize, regroup, rebalance your resources, protect your health workers who are exhausted. But by and large, we'd rather not do it. Just look at what's happened to the tourism industry, for example, in the Caribbean or in the Pacific, because people aren't taking their holidays. Look what's happened to smallholder farmers all over the world because their markets have got dented. Look what's happening to poverty levels. It seems that we may well have a doubling of world poverty by next year. We may well have at least a doubling of child malnutrition because children are not getting meals at school and their parents in poor families are not able to afford it. This is a terrible, ghastly global catastrophe, actually. And so we really do appeal to all world leaders. Stop using lockdown as your primary control method.
That seems kind of important. Now, I know what some bad faith folks would say. Well, that's not our primary. Our primary is wearing a mask. But you're wearing a mask while you've locked down, in some cases, total industries. I mean, across this country, not just here in Washington, but across the country, for the most part, there's no schools open for full-time in-person learning. That is a shutdown. You have right now in Pierce County, they're recommending to the school districts to withhold reopening the schools until next year. That is a shutdown. That's a lockdown. You have people not able to go to CenturyLink for a Seahawks game. That's a lockdown. Can we at least have a conversation about this? I know that there are folks out there in the Inslee administration, Jay Inslee among them, who don't want to hear any pushback while also simultaneously telling us that we should listen to the experts. We should look at science and data and listen to the scientists. Well, one right here is speaking pretty clearly. In the United Kingdom, they're going back into a lockdown because they're seeing an increase in cases. He's saying, no, don't do that. So why are we not listening? Why are we not even having the conversation? Jason, it's just one guy. Okay, fair enough. It's one guy with the WHO, which you told me to listen to. But okay, it's one guy. Can we like discuss it openly? Is that cool? If I tweet this video out, is Twitter going to pull it down? If I post it on Facebook, will it get one of those little warning stickers on it that it's fake news? Turns out, don't know yet. I did just post it on our Facebook page if you want to watch the video, not just so you can get all the information, but so you can share it on your own wall. This is important enough to at least have a conversation about. And yet, there are a lot of outlets that don't seem all that interested. I Googled this. I found some foreign websites, newspaper websites from like Australia and a few in Europe that covered it. New York Post here covered it. It's kind of it. Saw one story on Fox News. That's it. Didn't really see anything at all on CNN. That's weird. Seattle Times didn't pick this up. That's weird. Is there a reason why you think this is being kept from at least some kind of bigger picture conversation, even if you're just pointing to another expert who says this guy is wrong and crazy, we should do everything the way that we're doing it? They don't want to have that conversation. In some cases, reporters don't want to have a conversation with you, period, unless you are wearing a mask. That happened today with Mark Meadows, chief of staff for the president, in a government building in which they do not do testing at all for you to enter said building. They don't do testing. You don't have to come in and get a test or screened in any meaningful way. Mark Meadows was doing a Q&A or attempted to. He had his mask on until he got to the microphone. He pulled it down, and then people do. So, no, you can't do that. We've got quite. We want to have a conversation. They were wearing masks.
That way I can take this off the top.
No.
Well, I'm more than 10 feet away. I'm not going to talk to the man.
So he walks off. Good for him. It's absurd. It is totally absurd. You're 10 feet away. You're 10 feet away. If you are that scared, and maybe the person had a reason to be, right? Maybe they were dealing with an underlying health condition. Maybe they're in that demographic that could be hit especially hard. Didn't see that, but let's just go with that. Don't go to work.
Carry a riot shield. One of the two.
Yeah. Do something. But he was 10 feet away. He wasn't yelling. He was talking briefly and at a low tone and a calm tone into the microphone. No, put the mask back on. Go home. How about that? Go home, baby. This is so absurd. No, put the mask back. No, shut up. I'm taking it off. You're safe. It's the Jason Rand Show. When we come back, everyone is upset with Bill Burr and Saturday Night Live. Do they have a point? No. We're going to get it.